Iran says a European Parliament resolution expressing concern over continued systematic violation of fundamental rights is fabricated. Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif said the EU Parliament is not in a position nor has the moral authority to take any such measures against Iran. Tehran accuses Europe of applying double standards and following a selective approach, saying Europeans should first attempt to stand accountable for their own violations. Is the European Parliament interfering in Iran's domestic affairs? How will the resolution affect ties with Tehran? I'm Homal Ezgi and you're watching The Debate.
Last week, the European Parliament passed a resolution expressing concern over what it called the continued violation of fundamental rights in Iran. The European legislative body also criticized Iran's presidential election in June 2013, which was marked by a very high voter turnout and led to the victory of President Hassan Rouhani. The European Parliament said the vote was not held quite according to the democratic standards valued by the European Union. On Tuesday, a group of clerics and theology students of the Qom Seminary rallied against the resolution. They also slammed foreign interference in Iran's internal affairs and chanted slogans against the U.S. and Israel. Later in the day, protesters gathered outside the Greek embassy in Tehran to vent their anger at the European Parliament. Greece now holds the rotating chair of the EU. Iranian lawmakers also overwhelmingly reacted to the resolution. Nearly 260 MPs issued a statement slamming the resolution as clear interference in Iran's internal affairs. The Iranian lawmakers said the European Parliament is in no position to comment on the human rights situation in the country. The Iranian MPs said the resolution reflected the West's double standards.
The way that has been approached, it seems that it's got nothing to do with human rights. I mean, the way, for example, the concern over the election in Iran, after 10 months passing the election, which was celebrated by the Iranian population, they just turn around and say, you know, they find faults with it.
Critics argue that Europe is being hypocritical, as the EU itself violates human rights at home and abroad. Some of the instances are: Amnesty International said on Monday that European countries are failing to protect their Roma communities. According to Amnesty International, the 10 to 12 million Roma living in Europe face the daily threat of forced eviction and police harassment. Amnesty noted that the situation is a result of Europe's failure to ensure the human rights of the Roma. Many EU governments have clamped down on peaceful anti-austerity protests over the past years when people were venting their anger at wrong economic policies. Many EU governments have been assisting the U.S. in its mass spying programs on people around the world, which has drawn condemnation from rights groups. Meanwhile, Rwanda, which is mourning the victims of the 1994 genocide these days, has accused EU member states, France and Belgium, of involvement in the mass killings. Also, EU countries have closed ties with autocratic Persian Gulf states, including Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, where their regimes continue to crack down on dissent. But Europe has never taken measures against them or condemned their suppressive tactics. The EU has also been supporting insurgents in Syria, who've engaged in numerous terrorist attacks across the country. European countries have turned a blind eye to rights violations by the U.S., including those at the U.S.-run Guantanamo Bay prison. The instances of the EU's total disregard of human rights are many, but the bloc keeps criticizing other nations selectively, with no look into its own rights problems.
You're watching The Debate. Joining us now live from Tehran is Professor with the University of Tehran, Mr. Mohammad Marandi, and with us live from London, former U.S. intelligence officer, Mr. Bob Ayers. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us. I'll put my first question to our guest in London, Mr. Ayers. Is this, Mr. Ayers, interference in Iran's affairs, as Iran has been saying, and why?
I would characterize it as part of the price that any nation state has to pay in terms of international diplomacy. The EU is trying to achieve some changes in Iran, just as Iran is trying to achieve some changes in EU behavior. So what we have is we have the traditional to and fro negotiations, pressure, pushing back, of any state-to-state negotiation.
Mr. Mohammad Marandi, do you think that this is the price that Iran has to pay, in the words of our guest there in London, when it comes to international relations?
Well, I agree that the intentions that lie behind the accusations and statements made by the European Parliament have nothing to do with human rights, and this is political. The Europeans want to put pressure on Iran to try to influence Iran, to try to bring about change in Iran, basically because Iran is an independent country, it has an independent foreign policy, and the Europeans and the Americans don't like that. Otherwise, for example, the Europeans have witnessed the occupation of Bahrain by Saudi forces. In Bahrain, you have a family dictatorship oppressing its own people. That's not a problem. The United States continues to have a major military base there. Saudi Arabia doesn't allow women to drive cars or have independent bank accounts. No one has the right to vote, and the country is named after a family. In the case of Israel, which is an apartheid regime like apartheid South Africa, no difference. It is a key friend and ally of Western countries, which is constantly praised by both the Europeans and the United States as somehow being a democracy, just as white South Africa was during apartheid, I assume. But I think the important point is that the Europeans are mistaken if they think that they can influence Iran in a way in which benefits them by treating Iran in such a manner. This only creates greater sensitivity. It makes Iran more distrustful of the Europeans, because after all, the Europeans themselves have been involved in oppressive measures against ordinary Iranians through sanctions that target ordinary Iranians. And the Europeans have helped Saddam Hussein kill tens of thousands of Iranians, both through chemical weapons and other weapons. So there's no reason, legitimate reason, for the Europeans to make such accusations, and it only hurts their own relationship with Iran.
Well, Ms. Bobayers, some issues mentioned there. I'd just like to bring up one point, and that is the European Parliament and the European Union as a whole being accused of adopting a selective approach of applying double standards. You know, when the Iranian foreign minister says the EU Parliament is not in a position nor has the moral authority to make such measures against Iran, he's again referring to Europe's own faults. Do you think that rather than influencing in a positive way relations with Iran, the EU through these kinds of measures is actually creating, in the words of Mr. Marandi, greater sensitivity?
Well, let's understand what the EU is actually trying to do. What they've said in their non-binding resolution, by the way, is that they would like to make human rights part of the topics of discussion between the EU and Tehran. And this includes things like women's rights, political dissidents' rights, a reduction in capital punishment. These are EU values that they're trying to convince Iran to embrace a little more enthusiastically than they have in the past. They're not doing this because Iran is a separate state. They're not doing this because Iran has a separate foreign policy. They're doing it because they believe these to be values that any nation state anywhere in the world should hold. Now, if what we're going to do is we're going to start going back in history, selecting examples where one state or group of states violated human rights of their people or associated peoples, then we're going to spend the entire night going like the Palestinians and the Israelis. You did this, no, you did that, you did this, you did that. And we're going to get far off the main point, which is the ongoing negotiations between the EU and Tehran. That's the topic, and that's what we need to stick on, as opposed to going back and doing historical analysis of rights and wrongs over the last century.
Mr. Marandi, women's rights, the issue of dissidents in Iran, the problem of the death penalty in Iran, these are issues that, as our guest there in London was saying, have been mentioned in that resolution. What's your response to the suggestion there that what this resolution is about is allowing Iran to engage in talks with the EU on these issues?
Well, again, the Europeans really are not in a position to talk about human rights in Iran. And obviously, these are not European values. The Europeans have commodified women. That's not a value. The Europeans have excellent relations with Saudi Arabia, which this has nothing to do with history. In fact, the leader of the Europeans and the leader of the Western world, Obama, just came back from Saudi Arabia, and he did not raise any issues concerning human rights in his meetings with Saudi leaders. In fact, the Saudi king has imprisoned 4 of his own daughters, and there is no complaint in the United States, or for the most part by organizations affiliated to the West like Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, which are ideologically bound to the West itself. So, you know, we shouldn't really take these things seriously, and I don't think serious people do. In other dictatorships in this part of the world, the United States has